my new edition.
I got no problem.
Stepping down.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Hope everybody's doing well and had a good day thus far. And looking for a good day here in the Lord's house. And I truly believe, I've said it before, I truly believe you'll get what you look for. If you come just to make it through, you'll endure to the end. So we hope that's not you. But if you come truly wanting the Lord to do something for you, I believe you'll get that. Not because of me. Because the Lord, He's faithful. I'm pretty much useless here lately is what I tell my wife. But I'm looking for the Lord to do something, and hope you are too. So that's what our country needs. It really does. We need. I'm gonna preach tonight, Lord willing, out of Ezekiel about God is looking for a man, and God's still looking for some people. Because you go back, and I don't want to preach tonight's message, but. You go back and look at the state that the nation of Israel was in at that time, they were a mess. And so is America. And the reason is because I believe the church is not doing what it's supposed to do. And I still, well, preacher, nobody. God wasn't looking for a nobody. He was looking for a man. Not a group of people. It takes one spark to start a fire. And it might be you that could spark that fire. So I hope you'll be back with us tonight for that. That was a preview of tonight's message. But it is good to see you. And I hope everybody's doing good. Just a quick announcement. No bulletin day. My wife, she's starting to have more and more migraines. And when she gets those, just basically find a dark room and stay there. But she's at home with a migraine. And I left, so it can't be me. But do pray for her, but there's no bulletin because she's not here this morning. But just continue to pray for our services. Be back this evening. Do remember Wednesday night services and prayer time there. And then, of course, we have our classes for our young folks on Wednesday night. And then also the deacons meeting for the day, we're going to cancel that. Not a deacons meeting today. So, fellas, I'll let you know when we're going to reschedule that. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then I was getting ready to say Brother Russell, but Brother Russell's not here today. So Brother Poplin's going to come and lead us in a song. And then we'll get into the message here in just a little while. Father, we love you. Sure, I'm thankful, Lord, once again, God, for the opportunity just to be able to call upon your name. God, knowing that we can call, and not only just call, you said you'd answer. And God, tonight, or this morning, Lord, I have needs. And Lord, you know those better than I know. And I know everybody here this morning have needs. And God, we're just asking you, Lord, today to help us to get out of the way. And Lord, let you have your way. God, if there be somebody here today that's lost, God, please let them see you. God, don't let them see a man. Don't let them see a preacher. Don't let them see a religion. God, let them see you today. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to that heart as only you can. And God, they'll respond in the way, God, that you want them to. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd bless here today. Lord, help us to stand. God, help us to be firm in God, the Word of God. I do pray for our children that are in their classes this morning, Lord, all around the building in Children's Church. I pray, God, Lord, you'll bless there in a special way, Lord. And God, I just pray that you'll be lifted up in this place, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. For it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, grab a hymnal.
All right, everybody standing. Turn to number 28. First, second, and last stanza. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Number 4. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Remain standing, turn over to number 44. First and last stanza, number 44. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Are you singing? Okay. All right, you be seated. I was getting the plan. Amen. You know, I was thinking, you know, my wife says I shouldn't be this way, but I am this way. It's just who I am. I've sung that song a bunch of times. I thought, you know, I don't really agree with that song. What do you mean, preacher? Why don't you agree with it? It's not God's fault that we're not nearer to Him. God's drawing. The only reason we're not close to Him is we choose not to be. So that song will be more about us not wanting to be than about what the Lord is, because He's always drawing. And the Bible still says, if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men. So you know why people aren't getting saved? You know why people ain't coming to Christ? Might be because we're not lifting Him up. And are y'all okay? I need to set the alarm clock so you'll get out here on time. Everybody's like, it's all good. I was talking to Brother Brian this morning. He said, I could be in the hospital. He said, so he was good. So you could be a lot worse off. Hello? Everybody good? We ought to be excited to be in church. I ought to be excited to sing the songs of Zion. So, amen. Do pray. Again, a lot of things in our day to be praying for. If you don't have something to pray for, come see me. I'll load your boat up. I'll give you plenty to pray for. I remember a family years ago, he told me one time I was talking with him, he says, preacher, my prayer list has got so big, I just can't get through all of it. I said, well, that's a good and a bad problem to have, but there's a lot to be in prayer for. But again, the most important thing is pray for the lost. Pray for the lost. The Lord is coming. This thing's wrapping up. And I know, you say it all the time, preacher. It doesn't change the fact. One of these days, I'm going to get out of here. And if you're saved, you're going to get out of here. And so do remember the lost. Remember our country, of course. We live in a crazy world. My wife showed me a thing this week. Said, if you think God makes mistakes, you know, our culture today, you know, you can be whatever you want to. It's not as simple as God made a man, then God made a woman. We've got this weird culture that, you know, I saw a hunting thing the other day. Deer season's almost upon us. So this game warden was writing this hunter a ticket. And the hunter says, why don't you, that buck was legal. And the game warden says, no, it identified as a doe. So some of you think, what's he talking about? But my wife showed me this thing and thought, common sense will get you a long ways. If you really think that God made a mistake and don't know what a male and a female is, get your eggs from a rooster and get your milk from a bull. And you'll find out quick, God didn't make no mistake. I thought, so true, so true. So, but do pray for the lost, pray for our country. There are still a lot of sickness, a lot of things still going on, a lot of people dealing with COVID and different things. A lot of folks lost loved ones, different things. So do pray, just pray one for another, and just pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we should keep our family in our prayer all the time. So I hope you'll do that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Brother Poppins will come and sing the special, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we do ask you, Lord, once again, Lord, to bless this day. I do pray for these needs that we've just tried to mention, and Lord, we didn't call name by name, but Lord, I know, God, that you know every need. And God, we're just asking you this morning, God, to help us to be faithful. Lord, I know you are faithful, but God, help us to spend time in prayer. God, as we go throughout our day, I pray that we talk with you. And God, Lord, we'll just continue to cry out in these days, Lord. And God, give us a burden, Lord, for our country, for this world, God, that we could reach the lost in a day like today, Lord. And God, I just thank you, Lord, for the power of the blood. God, thank you, Lord, as you're still in the saving business. And God, we ask you once again, Lord, have your will and way, and we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord again for another privilege to be able to lead the singing.
Amen.
I love to help Brother Russell out when I can.
Amen.
And this song y'all heard me sing a lot, but I was praying this morning and I said, Lord, what would you have me to sing? And Miss Karen was praying one, and I thought, you know what, I might just switch up and do that. And then I thought, no, God laid this on my heart because I don't know why. Maybe somebody's here that's got a burden on your heart. Maybe you're burdened with something that you don't know what to do with. But I love this song. And this song says, He touched me.
Amen.
And if you want a burden to be lifted, let God touch you. And He will lift that burden. A lot of times we'll come to the altar, and I'm guilty of bringing something to God, and then when you get up, you end up picking it back up and taking it back with you.
Right.
Well, you're not letting God touch your heart over it. If
yeah.
God really touches you, you're going to learn to leave that there and trust Him. And I found out just so much how much that He has just blessed and took care of us. And through all situations, God has just, He's touched us. He's took care of us. He's met every need. And I'm learning to trust. And I feel like this week, I've had my knees got to be replaced. I broke my foot. I said, that's good right now at this time. And I said, I'm still packing this kidney stone somewhere that just does not want to give up and leave. So I'm thinking, Lord, I'm just, that's where you learn trust. Just trust God. He can take care of it. So y'all just pray for me while I try to sing. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Touch me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity touch me, Lord, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful truth. If you've ever been touched by the Lord, you know you've been touched. Amen. And I was thinking as He sung that song, and I say about every time I hear that song, I'm thankful He touched me. But if you go read those verses there with that woman with the issue of blood, she touched Him. And I'm glad that God still can be touched by man. We can reach out and God will be there. And again, you just picture in your mind, that woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says she spent everything she had trying to get some help. You know, that's how a lot of us were spiritually. We tried to turn over. It amazes me when we're out witnessing or something. Somebody said, well, I need to turn over a new leaf. If you're waiting to turn over a new leaf, it's rotten on the other side too. But if you'll trust the Lord, He'll give you a new leaf. Amen. He'll give you life. But God's in that business, and He's still in that touching business. So I appreciate that wonderful song. Take your Bible this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 63 this morning. Psalms chapter 63. Again, good to see you. If you don't have a Bible, I hope you have your Bible. But if you don't have one, there should be one in the pew. And just use that. We always want to encourage you. If you're visiting with us this morning, this might sound odd. Don't believe a preacher. Don't believe a man. Now, I hope that I tell truth. But I'm still, the Bible says, that all men are liars. I want you to have confidence in your pastor. I do. But this book is never wrong. It's always right. And listen, that's the reason I encourage you to follow along. Let the Word of God speak to your heart. So, Psalm 63 this morning, let's stand together. Psalm chapter 63 this morning. Wow. I can see better without my glasses. I'm healed. No. All right, Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask You blessings once again upon Your Word. God, pray, Lord, You'd help us to mind the Spirit today. God, help us to speak as only the messenger today, God. And we'll thank You, praise You, glorify You. In Your name we do ask and pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again, sometimes the Lord gives me titles. Sometimes I don't get titles. I just preach what God gives me, of course. But today, this message, I've entitled it, and this is what God put upon our heart, as Brother Papa was talking about. I'm glad God lays things on our heart. You know, I'm not being weird. You know, I don't hear voices. I don't hear, see things, you know. But God, if you're walking with God, you'll know when He's there and when He's not. And what we're looking at this morning, I've entitled it, An Oasis in a Desert Land. An Oasis in a Desert Land. And you've probably seen pictures or seen a movie or something on TV or something of that sort, that they'll show a desert, and right in the middle of a desert, there'll be one of the most beautiful places that you've ever seen. And you think, how can something so beautiful grow with something so barren around it? And here I believe we get to see God in a special way here, as David expresses his heart and his soul to God about how God is that oasis. Today, I don't know where you're looking for help. I don't know where you're looking for some relaxation. I don't know where you're looking for a drink of good cold water. A lot of people are trying things in the world. They're trying this and that. And all the times, I promise you, you'll come up short. But I'm glad this morning I can tell you that I have an oasis this morning that God has planted just for us, that we can find that help and we can find that need in our heart in such a barren land. As I said about Ezekiel that we're going to look at tonight, the nation of Israel was in a terrible mess, and it was a barren place. But even in that barrenness, God was at work. God was trying to help that nation. I want to tell you today, again, I get very frustrated with America and our world. I get very upset, and I get really broken sometimes at things that I see in our nation as leadership and our country. And I look at our young people at how some of the things that they're dealing with in their day, and it just bothers me and it hurts my heart.
But I'm glad this morning that God is still working and God is still preparing and God has still got a place that you and I can go and get some help. And that's exactly, again, this is a beautiful Psalms. It's believed that David wrote this psalm in probably one of the lowest parts of his life. The Bible says he's in a wilderness. It's believed that this psalm was probably written by David when Absalom was trying to kill him. What a terrible thought that your own kid would want to kill you. That your own family would come against you. And here David, the king, because he tells us there in verse number 11, it's the king. David was that king. But David was on the run. David was going into hiding. David was, again, worried. Again, he was trying to be killed by his own people. So what makes this psalm the psalm that it really is? And we're going to point out about three things this morning that David says here. But what really makes this the psalm that it is in the midst of this desert, in the midst of this wilderness, David was still worshiping. David was still talking with God. And friend, today, as I heard a preacher one time preach a message, he said this as his title, "Bloom Where You're Planted." And sometimes I was thinking about the things that I've seen in my life. Have you ever seen, I sure wish I took a picture of this. The second time I went through Yellowstone, I tried my best to find this scene that I saw. But the very first time that we went through Yellowstone, we were riding, I don't know what that river is that runs down through there. Beautiful river, rough water and all this. But there was a rock right out in the middle of this raging river. And on top of that rock was one single tree. I was thinking, how in the world is that? I mean, it wasn't a little tree. It was a nice sized tree. I thought, how in the world is that tree growing on top of a rock in the middle of a raging river? And I thought only God could do something like that. I'm glad today that I can grow and I can grow in the glory of God and I'm in that rough waters and I'm in that a raging part of life from time. But boy, I'm on a rock. And that rock feeds me, and that rock gives me strength, and I can become and grow because I am on the rock. So David here, again, in probably one of the lowest of lowest times, David again being sought to be killed, David the king being sought to be overthrown in his kingdom, David here begins to worship, and David begins to praise God right in the midst of a wilderness place. I saw a quote as I was studying that said this: David did not have a desert in his heart, even though he was surrounded by desert. Let that sink just a moment. So many times, and again, I'm guilty. So many times, things of life get my attention off of God. We used to teach our little kids that Poochie Lip song. What's that thing called? How's it? Yeah, I think that's it. You know, everybody walks around. Anybody got any problems? Don't lie to me. We all have problems. Everybody feeling great this morning? Probably not. Everybody's got the aches and the pains. Got bills coming. Got health problems. Preacher, you're not encouraging me. But see, that's where God wants us to be this morning, like David. You and I, of course, are going to have these days. You and I are going to go through situations. You and I are going to have the storms of life. But does it affect your heart? Does it affect your worship? Oh, so many times I've seen people quit on God in the worst of their days. It always amazes me when something comes into somebody's life, instead of running to God, they run away from God. This morning, that's not what David did. David in a wilderness, David running for his life, David didn't run away from God, David went to God. And this morning there's an oasis to be had here in a dry and weary land. So let's look at this real quickly this morning about what David can show us here. Same recipe for you and I. If you'll follow the recipe, I believe this morning you too can get out of that place of the poochy lip and find somewhere that you can just still praise God in the battle. Let's look at David here as he cries out this morning here in Psalm 63. Quit putting them on, I can't see. Let's just work our way down. Again, if you look there at the title of the psalm, it says Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And then he begins here, and it's broke out, this psalm, it's broke out verses 1 through 4, verses 5 through verse number 8, I think it is, and then 9 through 11. There's three different areas here that in David's life that he shows forth this oasis that God gave him. So let's look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. See, that's God. He's there. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so I've seen in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. The very first thing that here David shows forth, again, don't lose sight of where David is. Don't lose sight of what David's situation is. But in this wilderness, in this desert land, David instantly does one thing, and I believe this is probably the starting place that most of us ever miss. David had a desire to see God. Amen. This morning, did you wake up with a desire to see God? This morning, as we come to church, did we come into this place desiring to see God and to see God speak to our heart? Tomorrow, when God lets you get out of bed, hopefully another day on a Monday, will you be looking for God? Will your heart just paineth? Will your heart be, as he said, thirsty? This morning, are you thirsty? Notice what he says here again. He says, verse 1, he says, My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. But notice where he's at. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See, that's probably a great picture of our world today. Our world today is dry, and our world today, there's not much water. Oh, preacher, I had water this morning when I brushed my teeth. That's not the water we're talking about. You remember the woman at the well? Oh, she dipped out of that well many a days and always went back the same way she came. Oh, but on that day when the Lord was there, met her at that place. He says, let me give you a taste of living water. Here, don't drink out of that bucket, drink out of my bucket. And so he told us, if you drink of this water, you'll never what? Thirst again. This morning, David, involved in one of the worst times of his life, he says, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm wanting you, God, because you're the only well that will meet my thirst. See, David had such a desire for God. This morning, if you look at your life, when you truly desire something, well, I'm on this diet. My daughter had a birthday party for our little grandbaby, Leona. She turned one Wednesday. She had the party yesterday. And I don't know if my daughter was trying to kill me or what, but there was nothing there that was good for you to eat. She had three different types of Krispy Kreme donuts. Then she had this cake. And if you don't believe me, don't take the cake, but I'll show you the cake because there's still some of it left. The bottom part of that cake was, I don't know, about that big around. Where's Seth? I saw him come in. About that big around. And when he chopped a slice of that thing, If he cut it that thin, it would have been more cake than most people could eat. But you're on a diet. And you see that Krispy Kreme donut. And your mouth begins to water. And then the battle begins. You don't need that. I sure would like to have that. It's bad for you, but it sure would taste good. Y'all have battles like that? Oh, yeah. Guess who won? The Krispy Kreme donut. I said, I got to eat one of them. I couldn't, it's like potato chips. I couldn't stop with one. So I had to try the other one. When I saw that donut, I know this sounds silly, but it's just so true. When I saw that donut, you know what my body and mind said? I want that. When you truly desire something, you'll do about anything you can to get what you want. It might not be just a donut either. But when your heart has that desire to see something or do something, that desire becomes real. And you'll be amazed what you'll do to get the satisfaction or the fulfillment of that desire. Oh, wouldn't it be good that if I woke up every day and as much as I desired a Krispy Kreme donut, how much more would it be if I desired to see God?
Amen.
How much more would it be if my tongue put the donut on your head and your tongue will beat your brain out? If I can desire a piece of bread with sugar all over it, why can't I have that for God? Why can't I have such a hunger and a desire? Well, preacher, look how bad everything is. Look, it's dry and it's thirsty land. Yeah, that's the world. But I'm in an oasis. I'm in my own little spot. I got God 24/7. See, David had a desire. Even in the midst of the battle, even in the dry and thirsty place, David wanted God. Well, how did he want him? Look at verse number 2. To see thy power and thy glory. So he saw it before. He's seen God at work. He had felt the power of God and he had saw the power of God. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Was he in the sanctuary when he wrote that? No. Where was he at? In a wilderness. But even in the wilderness, even in a dry and a thirsty land, even in the deserts, David said, I want to see you just like I saw it to church. Everybody comes to church and I've seen people turn it on, turn it off like water. God ought to be as real to you tomorrow as he is today. And we ought to want to see that power of God and that showing of God every day in our lives. Well, preacher, I got to work and you don't know where I work at. I don't care where you work at. God's still bigger than wherever you're doing. If you're looking for him, well, preacher, I ain't got time to do that. Why? I got to work. Can't you work and think about God at the same time? Again, I like to whistle. I ain't whistling Dixie either. But I'll whistle some song that God has put in my heart. And you know what that's doing? That's me worshiping. That's me enjoying God and thinking about that what God is doing. See, that's what David shows here. His desire to see his power and his glory. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. That's a weird attitude, isn't it? What do you mean, preacher? David is running for his life. David is in a wilderness place. How do we act when we have those problems? Why me, God? What did I do, God? That's not what he said. Even in that terrible place, David said, no matter where I am, no matter how bad the situation might be, you, God, and your presence is better than life. That's an oasis. That's the right attitude. He says, because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. When's the last time your lips truly just praised him? Oh, we sung a song, but did you praise him? Tomorrow when you're walking around, can your lips praise him? Sure they can. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He worshiped in a wilderness, in the desert. See, there was an oasis that David was in. Oh, nobody else probably could see it. Nobody else knew it was there. But David did. And David said he wasn't going to let his circumstances and his situation rob him of the praise and the worship that God deserves. Friend, this morning, that's where you and I in our day ought to get to the place. This ought to be just a refueling station on Sundays and Wednesday. You ought to come in here and God just fill you up so you can get back out into that place and just in the world when it's all around you, just smile and give God all the glory. So first of all, this oasis, David showed forth his desire. The second thing we find here is we find his delight. Look here, verse number 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with the joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. This morning, David delighted in the fact of his soul was satisfied in God. This morning, if you're saved, praise God. No matter how wicked this world gets, no matter how bad it might get, I'm glad today that I know 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 that I'm secure in the hand of God. My soul is satisfied, as David said here, as that marrow and that fatness of that bone there. This morning, that ought to be our desire, that ought to be our delight today, that knows that you know that you know that you have eternal life. That's exactly where David was in his oasis. When you begin to block all those things, and again, we're not pretending they're not there. Listen, I know sometimes the storms will knock the wind right out of you. I know sometimes you hit it hard and you fall flat on your face. But you shouldn't stay there. You ought to go to God. And you ought to start desiring, oh God, I want to see you. And then that delight will begin to flood your soul. Did you see what he said there? Look at verse number 6. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed. Sometimes the bed ain't as soft as it needs to be, is it? Sometimes we have those nights when we just can't get our brain to stop thinking. The troubles of life, the things of the world have just got us so consumed. Maybe a family member, maybe this, maybe that. We just toss and turn on our bed. David said, look here. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed. Well, that's a good place to get to. That place that's supposed to be a place of rest and relaxation and refueling. David says, I use that place to talk to God. He says, I remember thee upon my bed. And notice also, and meditate on thee in the night watches. He wasn't watching TV, was he? He wasn't playing on the computer, was he? He was meditating. He was thinking about. That word meditate, and I know some of you heard me say this, some of you hadn't, but it's the truth. We have cows. I've been around cows pretty much all my life. Something about a cow that's just interesting to me. Old cow will get out there and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Then he'll go lay down under the shade. And if you watch him, or her, if you watch them, all of a sudden they'll be chewing. What's he chewing on? They regurgitate what they ate, and they're chewing on it again. Oh, that's nasty. But that'll be how we meditate on God. As we read our Bible, as we study our Bible, as we hear the Word of God sung and preached, we eat that. But then there ought to be a time of meditation. That'll be a time when we regurgitate what we've read or what we've heard, and we start chewing on it again and thinking about it. What are you thinking about? Now, I told people this. It's probably not the best thing to say. I had this person say, "Well, I wasn't thinking." Or this is what I said. "No, you wasn't thinking. That was the problem." People, they don't do much thinking. But we ought to have such a desire, as we've seen in David there, to longing after that, this thought of delight. We ought to just delight, not in the circumstances. David says, "I'm not delighting because of where I'm at." Because it wasn't nowhere to really, it was a wilderness. But David said, "I'm going to delight in who you are, God." What brings you delight? Can you delight in the midst of a storm? David did. He had an oasis. And then last of all, this morning, we find here in the latter verses. Well, let me say, look again in verse number 8. "My soul followeth hard after thee." Preached the other week on that thought there of those men that God used to go out to the Midianites. The Bible says that they were faint, yet pursuing. That's what David's talking about right here. My soul followeth hard after thee. How much effort are you putting into this thing? How much time are you actually putting into it? David says, "My soul's pressing hard." And then last of all this morning, look at verse number 9. The Bible says there, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes." David also had an ease. David had a place here in this oasis that knew that no matter what happens, God was his defense. Again, David was being chased. David was being threatened to be killed. And how true these things is, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it." See, that's what the world wants to do. That's what sometimes people want to do. They want to bring you down. They want you to feel miserable. They want to do everything they can to get you from serving God. Oh, they're out there. They want to destroy you. Oh, but friend of God, if you're saved this morning, they can't have you. God is bigger than they are. He talks about how they want to destroy him. Then look how he ends this thing. He says, "But the king," that's David, "shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. By the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." David says, "God's got me. All this stuff, all these things, they can't get me." Why? Because God has got me. Let me give you a few verses this morning. Look over Psalms 56. Because I know sometimes we feel like that we're losing. Sometimes it feels like the world's winning. But it's not. If you'll get into the oasis that David did. Look at Psalms 56. Verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." Well, that's true, isn't it? "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise, in God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. To God have I put my trust. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Hallelujah. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Notice two things in these verses. I mean, there's a lot to be seen there, but notice verse 4 and 11. He says, in God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Look at verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David here in Psalm 63, but also as the psalmist writes here in Psalms 56, David here, we see again the two-sided coin. Here in verse number 4, he says, I put my trust in God. And then he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Oh, this morning, one of our greatest enemies is the thing that you take so good care of. It's your flesh. This morning, we look so much at ourselves and we do so much. But here is enemy number one. Our flesh. We say the world so many times, but our biggest enemy is our flesh. And David says, I put my trust in God. I'm not going to be afraid what this flesh can do. You never know what your flesh might do. Don't say you won't. You don't know what your flesh is capable of doing. But then he says in verse number 11, he says, I put my trust in God. I will not be afraid what man can do. Oh yeah, man's always trying to get to, the world's trying to tear down Christianity by the truckload right now. Everything that has to do with God is wrong in our society. But I'm not going to be afraid. Preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Well, preacher, they might tell you you have to stop. I ain't going to stop. Well, preacher, you might go to jail. 3 meals a day and a place to sleep. This morning, David, in that place of oasis, he says, I'm not worried about what this world's going to do. If Absalom kills me, I'll be all right. Look at Psalms 27. Psalms 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Notice the next wording. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Can you say that today? Have you put your trust in the world? Have you put your trust in yourself? Or can you say, I put my trust in the Lord? Who's going to be against you? Who can overcome you? Look one other place. Look at Psalms 118. Psalms 118, verse number 6. The Bible says, the Lord is on my side. That's enough to shout about. That's enough to get excited about. The Lord's on my side. The Bible says there again, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I think it was Mays Jackson. It might not have been Mays Jackson. It's one of the old preachers of old. Somebody put a gun to his face. Said he's going to kill him for what he was preaching. I don't remember if it was Mays or it was one of the other old preachers. But the story goes that when the guy put that gun to his head, he says, "Don't threaten me with heaven." Listen, no matter what happens, I know it's easy to say it, but it's true. No matter what happens, if we are persecuted, if we are martyred, I'm just going to heaven. Amen. I lied. There's one more place. Look at Romans 8:31. We'll close with this verse, I promise. Romans 8:31. What a verse. What a section of verses. We're just going to read verse 31. Paul here writes and says, "What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things?" Here's the answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Do you have that much confidence in God? Do you have a desire and delight to know if God be for us? And He is for you. God wants you to know that He's for you. "Well, then, preacher, why does all these bad things happen?" God's not changed one bit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God's good to you yesterday. He'll be good to you today, and He'll be good to you tomorrow. If God be for us, and He is, who, what, when, where can be against you? We've overcome the world through Christ. There is an oasis. I got to thinking about some old TV shows that I remember. I think Gilligan was one of them. Anybody remember Gilligan? I think Gilligan's one of them. There's another thing out in the desert. It's called a mirage. That's when you're out there and you are in that wilderness and you're in that desert and your mind begins to play tricks on you. And you think you see this beautiful tree and a beautiful pool of water and you go running out to it just to find out it wasn't there. See, that's how a lot of people think about God. They feel like God's failed them. They feel like they went after God and it was just a mirage. No, it's an oasis. It's a real place with real rest. There is water. Even in this old wicked world, if we go to the oasis, His desire, His delight, His defense. That's what David had in God. What about us this morning? Anybody need some shade? Get out of the sun of this old world and the heat and mess. Anybody need a little drink of water this morning? Something to give you some refreshment in an old dead world? This morning, won't you come to that oasis? The Lord's there. If God be for us, who can be against us? You go on down to those verses there in Romans chapter 8, it begins those great verses. Who can separate us from the love of God? And it goes through all those things. And we find out nothing. Same today. Let's stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Father, we do thank You once again for the Word of God. Lord, thank You, Lord, for letting us have words like this, God, that even in our day, we too, as David did, we can find some help. We can find some strength. Lord, I know this morning that many are burdened. Many are going through those storms. God, help us to look up. Help us to see not ourselves in the situations, but God, help us to see you. Lord, today I don't know what everybody's facing. I don't know what's on the hearts of these people. But Lord, I know you do. And Lord, we just ask you once again, please, please, please help us to throw up the white flag today of surrender. God, help us today to realize that it's too heavy, it's too hard. God, help us today to cast those burdens upon you. God, help us to find that desire. Lord, help us rise early in the morning, God, looking for you, desiring to see you, desiring to talk with you, desiring to walk with you. Lord, help us to have that delight in knowing that we're saved. Lord, that delight to know that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And God, help us to understand this morning the defense. God, I know I'm in your hands. I know that no man can get me. I know this world can't take anything away from my salvation. And Lord, we just ask you this morning, God, to help each one of us to get away from that desert, not let that desert get inside of us. And God, bring us down. Lord, we ask again for your will, your way this morning. And we give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the musicians begin to play this morning. What about you, friend, this morning? Are you fighting? Are you weary? Is this world beating up on you? Things tough? Friend, you need to get to that oasis. You need to run to the Lord this morning. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Determine in your heart that you're going to begin to desire God in the good and in the bad. This morning, let God ring that through your soul once again. That if you're saved, let God one more time run that back through that you're saved. And oh, this morning, when the world's a-fighting and the mess this world is really in, aren't you glad this morning that we have a defense in God? If God be for you, and He is, who could be against you? Nobody. They can't have you. You mind the Lord today. Some in the altar, some praying where you're at. Would you do business with the Lord today? He stands here with open arms, wondering why you don't come. If you're here today and you're lost, won't you mind the Lord? Brother Russell, or Brother Poppy, go ahead and sing a verse. That'll be our desire right there. Sure you know that you know that you know this morning? Amen. That's one of those good songs. I'll just mark it up a little bit. I'll be one of those places you can go and get some help. And so I hope you'll be back with us tonight. Don't forget, prayer rooms will be at 5:45. Service will be at 6. Hope you'll be back with us tonight. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, we have our midweek service. So remember that at 7 on Wednesday. Again, be much in prayer. A lot of things in need today. There's a lot of things going on. But God's able. Amen. And I will put my eyes on Him. So I hope you have a good afternoon. Hope to see you back tonight. And I hope you have a blessed day. I didn't say it last week, but I do want to say again that we've got some folks who have been visiting. If you'd be interested in joining the church, we don't push. We don't prod. If you're saved, you're part of the church. Amen. I know not all preachers see it that way, but I belong to the local church. I'm thankful for it. But greater than that, I'm glad I belong to the body of Christ. Amen. That's what makes it. It ain't about this place, but it's about the Lord. So I'd love for you to just come see me if you would. I would love to talk to you about it. And so you pray about it. But again, looking forward to see you tonight. Brother Melvin, will you dismiss us?